Chapter 4 of Proverbs, the first 9 verses. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. When I was a boy in my father's house, that would have been David, still tender and an only child of my mother, he taught me and said, lay hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Esteem her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor. We don't hear much on that. The first few chapters of Proverbs are on wisdom, and it sounds like the rest of it are on fools. Those are the two different things, wise and the foolish. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for being able to meet in your presence in a special way in a group of people. Prepare our hearts to sing and pray and listen and do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for praying for wisdom for me, because that's the subject this morning. Last Tuesday evening, a friend of ours, she's been married probably 30 years, I can think when she got married, 31 years. I know her since she's a freshman in college. She came by the house to see Bessie. And in the conversation, I was just standing by, she turned to me and she said, when are you going to write a book on counseling? And the next morning, her husband asked me the same subject, same thing. What never had occurred to me, and probably hadn't occurred to me for several reasons. I hate writing. I'm lazy. I don't mind talking. But another reason, there are many books on counseling out there, and why add another one? But since this came to me, I don't know, I will not write it, but I realized I had a whole book in my head. And this book, you'll hear part of it this morning, is not related to counseling as we know it today. I looked up the definition of counseling or counselor in the dictionary, and it says, a person trained in professional guidance of individuals by utilizing psychological methods and collecting case history data, using various techniques of the personal interview and testing interests and aptitudes. I thought that was a very good definition. Almost everybody who hangs a shingle, secular or Christian, learns this in graduate school. But this definition first showed up in 1915. Well, what happened to counsel before then? I realized that in literature, don't ask me where this phrase come from, because I only read the book, The Lady of the Lake, a poetry narrative by Walter Scott. And in that book, it uses the expression, sage counsel encumber. So what does that mean? Well, sage means wise, counsel means advice, and encumber means trouble. The King James Version about the why cumbereth the ground? Why does this plant trouble the ground? It's taking up space. Cumbers, wise advice in trouble. Well, we start with trouble. We look for advice, but we want wise advice. And so, and you see this in Scripture also. We read it this morning in Proverbs chapter 4, where he speaks of David. David said, "Lay hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you." We have a description of this wisdom that Solomon got. It's in 1 Kings chapter 4. I want to see how much wisdom he got. God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Sounds pretty much. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the men of the East and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than any other man, including Ethan the Ezrahite, wiser than Heman, Calcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol, and his fame spread to all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs numbered 1,005. He described plant life from the cedar of Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of walls. He also taught about animals, birds, reptiles, and fish. Men of all nations came to listen to Solomon's wisdom and sent by all kings of the world who had heard of his wisdom. He asked for it and he got it. But it's not just wisdom, he had knowledge. The problem was, in Proverbs 4, he said, don't swerve from this wisdom. He had this wisdom and he swerved from it. He certainly didn't pass it on to his son, Rehoboam. Having wisdom doesn't mean you... Well, next thing, we see this wisdom came from God. Long before they had graduate schools in counseling, you could get wisdom from God. I've been thinking about it recently. Wisdom is what makes a good counselor. Wise man. But do we have any graduate schools in wisdom? Can you get a PhD in wisdom? How about a PhD in patience, kindness, love? These things are available from God, independent of education. Now you can be educated and wise, but you can be educated and not wise. And a lot of times it's easier to be educated and not wise because we assume the knowledge is the same as wisdom. And we keep getting learning more and more stuff and are not wise. In James 1:5, I think it describes most of us. If any of you lacks wisdom, Luke asked for a show of hands. I want a show of hands. Any of you lack wisdom? Okay, here's another prayer request. Let him ask of God. He should ask God. How wise do you think God is? Well, outdoes Solomon. Let him ask God. And that tells us here, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Ask God for wisdom, and whoever that is, anybody who lacks it. And he gives it generously, more than you need, without finding fault. He said, what are you asking me for, dummy? Not critical. He gives generously, over much, too much. You see it not only when he should ask God, but you should ask it for other people. Look at Colossians, chapter 1, verse 9. Wonderful verse. We've looked at it before. I won't read the whole verse, just the first phrase. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So you can pray that for me, that I wake up tomorrow morning filled with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Why? Because I went to school? No, because you prayed for me. I know the knowledge of his will. Well, that was some spiritual wisdom and some spiritual understanding, all spiritual wisdom and understanding. God gives generously to people who need it. Now, he says he gives to all. I think this is speaking of believers, people who know him. So, if he gives to all, every born-again Christian is a counselor. Every born-again Christian is wise. You say, no, I know better than that. Well, we start out by knowing what wisdom is. Look at, since we're in James, let's go back and look at James 3, 13 and 14, someplace in there. Verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it. Okay, how do you show your wisdom? How do you show your understanding? We're supposed to show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. So we see the humility is associated with wisdom. It comes from wisdom. And we show our wisdom and understanding by our life, our humility. And then it describes another kind of wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. There are two types of wisdom. That wisdom that comes from above is pure. The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. Then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial and sincere. Okay, wisdom from above has these characteristics. The wisdom from below is unspiritual of the devil. You find envy and selfish ambition, disorder and every evil practice. The Old Testament speaks of it as fools, foolish, the wise and the foolish. You see it in Proverbs, wisdom and fools. When Paul writes to the Galatians, he says, you foolish Galatians, you unwise Galatians, you dumbbells, you're Christians. I mentioned every Christian starts out with wise. Why? He starts out pure. He starts out forgiven. Just by his new life in Christ. How do we know that? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. I think 30. Toward the end of the chapter anyhow. Verse 30. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom. We are in Christ Jesus, and he has become for us wisdom. And then he defines wisdom. Wisdom from God defines it. That is, one, our righteousness. Now, righteousness here means imputed righteousness, justification. What happens when we're born again? We suddenly are cleansed, that kind of righteousness. Forgiven righteousness, being in Christ, wisdom, is being forgiven, being justified. Second, it's holiness. Holiness is different from righteousness. We've talked about this before. Righteousness is evil that's been cleansed, and holiness is not getting evil. Righteousness is getting a bath. Holiness is not getting dirty. You don't touch the unclean thing. So wisdom is getting clean and not getting dirty. Righteousness, holiness, and finally, redemption. And redemption is the redemption of our body at the return of Christ. That's wisdom. Now, it has these other characteristics of purity, consideration, thoughtfulness. So we want to go to for counseling. If you want to go to a PhD with the certification from the state, fine. But be sure he has these other qualities. That he's wise. Not trained. It tells us what the wisdom from below is. And we encounter it all of the time. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. You don't hang out with the ungodly. That wisdom rubs off on you. And because the devil's a liar, it sounds like true. 1 Corinthians 15. I know I can spend the whole half hour on each of these verses separately. 15, verse 33. Do not be misled. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Bad company is the wisdom of the world. It corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. Got that? Stop it. And then he tells us something else here. For there are some who are ignorant of God. And then he says, I say this to your shame. How can anybody that you know be ignorant of God? You ought to be ashamed. They are in the wisdom of this world. We're not to hang around with them unless we are there to impart righteousness and holiness. But in many cases, it happens the other way around. We are snowed by this other person who is educated and articulate, coherent. And he tells lies like they're truth. And we believe him. That's just the nature of our surroundings. That's the nature of the university. So if we're there, and we should be there, Jesus said, I'm not praying you take them out of the world. I pray that you send them into the world and keep them from the evil one. The Lord's Prayer. Deliver us from the evil one. So we can be in the world system, but the world system with wisdom. And the wisdom is all of these other characteristics that you cannot get in school, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, when you have this wisdom, and people will come to you, I don't care if you're in the first grade, if you've got wisdom, little kids are going to come to you. And they'll come to you two ways. There'll be bad little kids that you want you to follow, or there'll be kids that want to help from you. Because you have wisdom. They wouldn't use that word. They don't know the word. But you've got it because you're in Jesus Christ. And in thinking this, I was saved October 18th, I think, 1947. And I found myself imparting wisdom to people. I didn't know the word, but just reflecting on it, one of my classmates came to me, and he was in danger of getting kicked out of the academy for some infraction, and he came to me. I said, "Brett, why are you coming to me? You've been giving me nothing but flack for 3 years." Well, he was in trouble now, and he knew where to go. When you are, whether you're seeking a counselor or wanting to be a counselor, wisdom is the criterion, and you get it from God. You get it by asking for it. You're getting it by other people praying for you. You get it from your Father. You get it from the Scriptures. You get it from the Holy Spirit. It's super available in quantities to all believers. I say, I hadn't thought much about it until this last week. But then it's caused me to think of my past where I've asked for wisdom when I didn't know what I was doing. God gave me supernatural wisdom that I couldn't have found in a book, and I couldn't have figured out myself. God gave wisdom. It's available. It's available to every last Christian, however small, however young. That includes knowing the Scriptures. But it's possible to know the Scriptures and not be wise. It's possible to know the Scriptures and know it mechanically, know it to quote it, and not live it. So ask to see it in such a way that it comes to your heart, not just to your head. It takes a while sometimes for that to happen. Well, it shouldn't take it all a while, but because you've heard me say this before, but for centuries, Bible-believing Christians have taught truth. They've taught truth for centuries in catechism classes, in Sunday school classes, in vacation Bible school, in Christian colleges, in Bible institutes. We've taught truth in such a way that people could repeat back the truth on the final exam. They could quote it to other people. But it was taught through their head, and they I'm not saying that's wrong, but it stayed in their head only. Didn't come down here where they live. Wisdom is knowledge here. And it includes these things like the fruit of the Spirit. Barbara. I hate to tell this to Barbara, but speak louder. Yes.
Wisdom is justified by its
action. Yes. I think it's Proverbs 11. Let's take a look. I could be wrong. No, the one in Proverbs, this is another. I think I can come across it, but that's true. Wisdom is justified by our actions. I mentioned that wisdom comes from with your conversion. That is wisdom. Righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Jesus Christ is wisdom. You can swerve from it. But since it comes with salvation, then when you impart wisdom, you part the gospel. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. You're taking your wisdom that you have, you received Jesus Christ, and you're imparting wisdom. He that wins souls is wise. That was it. And in Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, I think. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. That's wisdom. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens. They that live many to righteousness are like the stars forever and ever. Wisdom starts from your conversion. It has these characteristics of humility and purity, kindness, the fruit of the Spirit, and it has the characteristics of leading others to the Lord. It has the means of getting it by asking God for it when you lack it, for other people praying for it, and it comes in quantities, not just in quality. He gives generously, filled with the fruit of the righteousness. One time, I'm not saying I was right in my attitude, but there's a person in these two towns who went to everybody for counseling, all the pastors, read every book in the store, went to the School of Practical Christianity, and didn't seem to apply any of it ever. One day she came into the store and she said, "Jim, do you have 5 minutes?" I didn't have 5 minutes, but I also knew that she meant 35 minutes. Well, I wasn't content by just saying, "No, sorry, I don't have 5 minutes." I said, "Isn't the Lord available?" Well, I don't think I said it nicely. And she stomped out. I thought, well, I won't see her for a while. But she didn't give up. One day, she knocked at the front door. Bessie went to the door, and she asked for me, and she said, "Well, if you go in the backyard, I'll send him out. There's some chairs under the apple tree." So she came and told me, and I'd just been reading a book by Watchman Nee. I wish I knew which one. But Watchman Nee said in this paragraph, two people can hear the same verse preached. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." And one person will say, "Boy, that's wonderful. And he'll come to the Father by Jesus Christ." Another person says, "Boy, that's wonderful. I'm going to make a plaque and put it on the wall." Having just read this, I went out to see this young woman. And since this was still in my head, I said it to her. She said, "Well, what's the difference between these two people? They both agreed with the text." Well, I said, "The one person has love, joy, and peace, and the other fellow has a plaque on the wall. One person came to the Father, and the other person came to the verse." What hit her hard, because she'd come to all the verses. And she called me the next day. She said, "I'm not a Christian." I said, "I didn't think so." But for years, she'd been arguing theology. It was hard to differ with her, because she's quoting what I'd told her. But she didn't have it here. I said, "Well, I didn't think so." Then she got upset because I agreed with her. I said, "I'm not going to tell you how to become a Christian. You just plug the formula again and it won't be any different than the last time." I said, "I'll tell you when I will tell you how to become a Christian. When you've got a tiny view of the holiness of God. And after that, when you've got a tiny view of how sinful you are in the light of his holiness, and then a tiny view of the love of God in your great sin in the light of that holiness. When you got those three things, I'll tell you how to become a Christian. Didn't hear from her for a long time. One time she called. She said, how could the Father love the Son and send him to the cross? Oh, I said, well, I knew right away. She was getting a little tiny view. I said, well, if you look at it closely, it says, for God so loved the world. That tells us how much he loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. I thought, well, I'm going to tell her, but I'm going to tell her in prose, because she runs everything through this big brain. I'm only going to tell her in poetry. So I'd recite the hymn, The Love of God, to her on the telephone. And I'd sing the deep, deep love of Jesus on the telephone. And I only talked to her in ways that bypassed the brain and went right to the heart. One day she was cleaning houses for C.B. Jones in Pullman and running the vacuum cleaner and singing that little chorus, He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Do you know that? She was singing that and was converted in the middle of the vacuum cleaner, singing He is Lord. She's walked with the Lord ever since. Family's in order. Kids are short-term missions. We have wisdom from conversion. We can get more of it in quantity. We stay away from the wisdom of this world. We do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We meditate in the law of the Lord day and night. We walk in the Spirit. We walk in the light. This is wisdom. And every Christian has it to begin with just because he has Jesus Christ. You can swerve from it like Solomon. He had a lot more and he left a lot behind. Now, there are a lot of different ways to impart this wisdom to unbelievers and believers, not using what you learn in grad school, just using what you learn from your Father, from the Scripture, from the Holy Spirit, from answered prayer. Oh, there's a wonder, excuse me, I'm taking longer than normal, but there's a case over in, where is it, Second Chronicles 18. Ahab, verse 3, Ahab, king of Israel, asked Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, will you go with me against Ramoth Gilead? Jehoshaphat replied, I am as you are, and my people as your people. We will join you in the war. But Jehoshaphat also said to the king of Israel, first seek the counsel of the Lord. So the king of Israel brought together the prophets, 400 men, and asked them, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall I refrain? Go, they answered, for God will give it into the king's hand. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of the Lord here whom we can inquire of? Instead of these 400 stooges? The king of Israel answered Jehoshaphat, yeah, there's still one man through whom we can inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. I hate him because he never prophesies anything good about me, but always bad. He is Micaiah, son of Imlah. The king should not say that, Jehoshaphat replied. So the king of Israel called one of his officials and said, bring Micaiah, son of Imlah, at once. Okay. We as Christians, Jehoshaphat was a believer. Ahab was not. He could tell the truth between something from God and something from the devil. Oh, Micaiah did. He did give some advice, but it was, what's the word? Satire, sarcastic.